All right. This is a subject that's been on my heart for probably a year or two, and I've just been kind of waiting to see when the Lord would kind of give me the green light. And it's something that is important. It's something that affects our life, and it's the subject of abortion. In the nation of Zambia, some of you may or may not know, but in the entire continent of Africa, before 1994, when South Africa had their first democratic elections, Zambia had the most available abortions on the entire continent. All right, and so this message is in no way meant to be a political statement. It's not meant for government. It is meant for you. But the reason I say that is because it is an option that is widely available in this nation. All right, and so if you are a married couple, if you're a single person, you know, if you have a boyfriend, a girlfriend, and there is a pregnancy that takes place that is not expected or that is, in a sense, unwanted, the option of abortion is widely available in this city, in this nation. I'm sure many of you know that, okay? And so what we want to do today is go to the Word of God to say, God, do you have an opinion? Because there's a fair amount of stuff in our life. If you want to have, you know, beef or chicken, or whether you like Chelsea or Man U, God doesn't care, okay? And He leaves those choices up to you. But there's a whole lot about our life that God wants to be involved in. And He has the right to be involved in, because the Bible says that when we come into the kingdom, when Jesus becomes our Lord and Savior, we no longer own our lives. We are bought with a price, and so therefore we glorify God with our body because we belong to the Lord. All right? So He created us, but He also redeemed us. So we go to the Word of God to discover, God, what do you think about my money? What do you think about how I treat my wife? And so we submit our beliefs and our decisions under the Lordship of Jesus Christ as prescribed by the Word of God. All right? So today, if you're nervous that we're going to talk about this, or you feel like, well, I don't think the church should be talking about those things, then you really don't understand the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and you don't understand His claims on your life, okay? And it's too common for Christians, and you know, we love the songs, you know, I'm happy today, Jesus, get me to heaven, fix me, get me a wife, a new job, but He also says, we're going to live a certain way, and my mind is going to be renewed, and I'm going to be transformed according to the Word of God, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, we then look at every subject and every matter that affects our life, and we come to the Word of God to say, God, what do you think? Okay? Now, why would we want to talk about this in church? Well, I think we're going to discover that God has some things to say. But I think everyone in this room, either you have already been affected by this issue of abortion, or you will be. Okay, you either have been or you will be. Especially those of you that are, you know, you're walking with the Lord and God is transforming your life, that people that may be facing this decision, they're in trouble, there is this unplanned pregnancy, typically they're going to look to the folks that seem to have the answers, and that's you. And so what is your response going to be to them? How will you guide them? Will your answer and your counsel be according to the Word of God, or will it just be based on the wisdom of man, okay, and just what man has decided about this subject? There may be a family member in your family that maybe they've already made this decision. Maybe it may be coming in the future. Okay, perhaps this has already happened in your past, where you're a lady that you did get an abortion, or you were a husband or a boyfriend that you paid for it or encouraged them to do so. All right, and so what about your past? What about that decision? And let me say right off the bat that this message is not meant to condemn. It is not meant to crush, but it is meant to be clear. And we need clarity and allow God to speak for himself on matters that he has an opinion about. All right? So, what does the Bible say directly about abortion? The answer is nothing. Okay? There's no scripture that speaks directly to it. Okay? But the Bible is very clear about murder, and we'll see that, and about shedding of innocent blood. And so what we want to determine today is, obviously, most of us would agree, I hope we would agree, that the Bible is clear about murder, and we don't kill people, all right? And if someone did, then that's wrong, okay? So the question is an unborn child a human being? Now, I know if you're a biologist or if you're in medical school, this is not going to be a lecture on bioethics. All right, I'm not a biologist. I'm not a geneticist. I'm a pastor. And so I want to convey, does God have anything to say about an unborn child being a human being? And what you're going to see today is the answer is overwhelmingly yes, he has something to say. All right, but let's just look at some things that hopefully we would already know and we would already agree in. And number one is that murder is condemned in Scripture. Murder is a sin. Murder is something that we are told by God Almighty not to do. One of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20:13, you shall not murder. Romans 13:9-10, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. If there is any other commandment, they are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And the New Testament takes us higher than the law. Because in the Old Testament, as long as you didn't murder, you're fine. Jesus said, it's not just about murder, it's about the hate in your heart that leads to murder. That's not okay with me. And that needs to be dealt with. Okay? So both in the Old and the New Testament, it's very clear we are not to murder. Turn with me to Exodus 23:7. I would really encourage you, every Sunday you come to church, bring a Bible. Okay? Otherwise, who knows, I might preach from first imaginations. Or I might say, the Bible always says, well, you need to see it for yourself. You need to know the Word. And especially, I would really encourage you, write these scriptures down, because many of you are going to have some situations where you're going to need to refer back to these scriptures. All right, Exodus 23:7. Keep yourself from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and righteous. 20 different times in Scripture, the killing of the innocent is condemned. All right? Jeremiah 7 and verse 6, it says, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, or walk after other gods to your hurt. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, and it was a theocracy, and the laws of the Old Testament allowed for capital punishment. And this is going to be a discussion about that. But those that were guilty, certain sins like murder, adultery, witchcraft, those people were put to death. Okay, but there was very clear instruction that God hated the shedding of the innocent, the blood of the innocent. Now, I think we would consider, you know, a baby that's been born into this world perhaps has the most innocent blood of anyone. Okay, by the time we're three, our blood isn't too innocent. Okay, we've been goofing off by that time. Okay, but a baby that's just been born, its body flows with innocent blood. Okay, so what we want to find out is, well, a baby that has not yet been born, that has not come out of the womb yet, does God consider that a baby? Okay, because if that is a person, okay, if that's a person, then killing that person would be murder. Now, if it's not a person, then it's just a growth. It's just an inconvenience. A couple of weeks ago, I had a non-cancerous growth on my face. They burned it off. It fell off. No big deal, right? So if a fetus is just matter, and you know, people that want to promote this will never call it a baby, okay? Then if it's just a growth, then no big deal, right? That's just your body. You can, if something's not okay in your body, like an eyelash, just put it down the drain and carry on with your life. But if it's a person, and God considers it a person, then the taking of that person's life very clearly would be murder. I hope you're following the logic here, okay? So then we have to go to the Bible, because the Bible is clear about murder, clear about innocent blood. Is a fetus, is an unborn child considered by God to be a human being? Okay? So let's look and see what God has. Has God spoken on this subject? Does he have an opinion? All right? And if he does, then we subject our beliefs and our actions under Scripture. Okay? All right. So let's turn to Exodus 21. Exodus 21. All right, how does Scripture refer to an unborn child, a fetus, okay? What reference and what do they talk about? What language does God use? Exodus 21, verse 22. If men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any harm follows, you shall give life for life. Okay? So there in Exodus 22, it refers to a woman with child. All right? So the biblical language of a woman who is pregnant is with child. So the Word of God calls that fetus a child. Look at Job chapter 3. Job, this was in the beginning of his suffering and the problems that he was facing. And there's some text here in chapter 3 that is a lament. Job is hurting and Job is confused and Job is, he makes some statements here. But I want you to notice how he makes them. Job 3:3, he says, "May the day perish on which I was born." I had a pastor in Mozambique ask me if that was February the 29th. Because Job cursed it and it was disappeared. All right. He said, "May the day perish on which I was born, and the night in which it was said, a male child is conceived." A male child is conceived. Now, so the Scripture is using the language of a child at conception, not at a live birth. Now, the Old Testament was written in the Hebrew language, all right? And really, really smart people have done a great job in translating that into vernacular, into languages all over the world. But it's sometimes interesting to know what is the word that's used in a text, all right? And the word there, child, is the Hebrew word for an adult male. We would say, you know, a big boy. That is the word that Job used for a male child at conception. So the Bible, and we must remember, the author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit. It is God. This is God speaking for himself. All right? So God uses the same word for a baby boy at conception as an adult boy. Okay? Historian and Bible commentator Beckwith says, this passage connects the individual born with the individual conceived. Look in the same chapter, Job 3:16. Job 3:16. And Job, again, he's lamenting that he was even born. He says, "Why was I not hidden like a stillborn child? like infants who never saw light. A stillborn child, or this is referring to a baby that is not born alive, and that is certainly a sad and a tragedy when that happens, all right? But he uses this phrase, never saw the light. And we have an expression today, never saw the light of day, okay? So Job is referring to, why wasn't I just like a stillborn child that never had life outside of the womb, all right? It's a different Hebrew word than in verse 3, and that word is the word that is used for human beings. Human beings. All right? So a baby that is born not alive, stillborn, that has not come to full term, the Bible uses the same terminology for a stillborn child as for a human being. God does not consider a fetus a mass. He does not consider a fetus a growth. He considers it a human being. The same word as an adult child. Look at Genesis 25. Genesis 25 and verse 21. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. All right, we know from Scripture that she gave birth to two twin boys. Verse 22, but the children struggled together within her. Okay, so she conceived these two boys that would become Jacob and Esau. All right, that was their name at birth. The children struggled together within her. The Hebrew word there is a third different Hebrew word. The word child there is the word for a son, and is referred and is used for human individuals. Human individuals, a son. Psalm 51, verse 5. Psalm 51, verse 5, David said this. He is repenting of his sin with Bathsheba. And he said, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. So he is referring to at birth, he had a sin nature. He was sinful even at conception. Luke 1:36. And you say, Pastor, why so many scriptures? Because God is not silent, folks. I'm not taking one verse and twisting it for some type of ideology. God is very, very clear about his opinion on this subject. Luke 1:36. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, she was conceived naturally from a human father. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so John the Baptist had a special mandate from God to prepare the way of the Lord. All right? So Elizabeth met Mary, okay? And we'll see that. But here referring to Elizabeth being pregnant with John the Baptist. All right, this is an angel speaking. And it says, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. Now, this was in a day before ultrasounds. All right, but the angel, because of supernatural information, knew that this was a son and was communicating that the child within her is a son. Okay, it doesn't refer to a fetus. Refers to a son. And this is now the sixth month for who? For her who was called barren. Luke 1:57, all right, so the angel is referring to this six-month-old baby as a son. Luke 1:57, now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. The word for son in verse 36, and the word for son in verse 57, same exact word. Son in the womb, son outside of the womb. Okay? John the Baptist, while in the womb, responded to the Holy Ghost. Turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 41. All right? Just a few verses before that. All right? So this is when Mary and Elizabeth got together. Mary was pregnant with Jesus, the Son of God. All right. Verse 41, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Verse 44, for indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. It seems that perhaps John the Baptist was the first Pentecostal in the womb. The Bible says he leapt with joy. So the Bible, again, written by God, refers to an unborn child as having joy. As having joy because of this divine thing that has happened. Not sure how you leap for joy in a womb, but it happened. Okay? And she knew what happened. And she knew why it happened. That something, this Jesus, this and Mary who was, that was carrying Jesus, John the Baptist, in the womb, realized the Holy Ghost spoke and said, this is your reason. This is your reason you're alive. All right? And this is an instance, and we're going to see some others. Another reason that God considers an unborn child a human being is that the Bible is very clear, and we'll see five different instances of people who are called by God from the womb. Not after they're born, or when they get to church or Sunday school, but from conception in the womb, God begins to have a plan for their life. Look at Jeremiah 1:5. Jeremiah 1:5. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, this is God speaking to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Consecration means to be set apart for a special use. Some of you may have glasses or cups or certain things in your dining room that it's only for special use. Well, before Jeremiah was even born, when he was in the womb, God sovereignly consecrated him and said, I am setting him apart for a special use. That is to be a prophet. Where did it happen? It happened in the womb. It happened before birth. Samson in Judges 13, the mother of Samson is getting instruction. For behold, you shall conceive in Judges 13:5, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. All right. So this was a special order dedicated to God, and there were certain things that they weren't allowed to do. And one of them is that they weren't allowed to drink wine. They weren't even to have the product of grapes. Okay? Look at verse 7. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine. This is God speaking to the mother. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. I remember with great fondness when my wife was pregnant with Timothy and Jessica. And we got a book and we went to the doctor and they prescribed and gave us advice. You know, eat this, don't eat that. And, you know, have extra vitamins. Maybe that's why they're tall. Maybe it's DNA. I don't. But so Haley was very aware of what she was eating. All right. Because, you know, the saying, you're not eating for one, you're eating for two. And it was kind of funny. There were times where, you know, if she ate some kind of spicy food, the babe within her leapt because it was spicy to the baby. Moms, you probably know that, right? And you have to be careful what you eat. Well, this was a spiritual thing. And so this wasn't just a good health tip for the mother of Samson, but it was saying that anything that's unclean, anything that is going to keep him away from his calling, I don't even want you to eat it because it's going to get to him. And that defilement will even come into the womb. Do you see this? Okay, so God doesn't believe that life starts when the baby's born, but in the womb. Jesus is spoken of in Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name. Verse 5, the first part says, and now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant. So the calling, the plan of God in the womb for Jeremiah, for Samson, for Dave, for Jesus, for John the Baptist, Luke 1:15. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine nor liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. The growth on my face wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit, it was just a growth. John the Baptist was a person in the womb filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul refers to his own life, Galatians 1:15. But when he who had set me apart, very similar language to Jeremiah, when he who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace. God has a plan for unborn babies. God is already thinking about their destiny. God is already thinking about their life. God is already planning and calling. And what does abortion do? It stops the plan of God. It stops the divine. Psalm 139. This psalm makes it very clear that God himself is active and directly involved in the forming process that takes place in the womb. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. So the psalmist is giving direct credit and talking about the involvement of God's formation of the life of a baby in the womb. We saw in Jeremiah 1:5 that God said that he formed him in the womb. So the divine act, the divine hand of God is in the womb of a mother. It is clear from Scripture. What does abortion do? It stops the hand of God. It is an assault on the work of God that forms a person in the mother's womb. God is creating, God is forming, and man steps in and stops God's hand. God is the only one who gives life. God is the one who creates. Abortion is a violation of the prerogative of God. And I know people talk about a woman's choice. It's about God's choice. It's about God's hand. And mankind on the earth, we are notorious for pointing our finger in the face of God and saying, we will do it our way. We will refuse your leadership. We will refuse your lordship. And every time an abortion occurs, that is exactly what has happened. Because Psalm 139 stops. The forming of God, the plan of God, the divine thing that is happening in that womb is stopped by sinful man. So, the Bible makes it very, very clear that a baby is a person. A baby is a person. Now, again, this is not a science chat, all right? But this is, what does God say about people before they're born? God refers to them as people. They have a calling. He is forming them, all right? So therefore, since God calls them a person very clearly in multiple references in the Bible, then taking the life of an unborn child is clearly murder. and that is condemned by Scripture, and therefore abortion is clearly condemned by Scripture. All right? Now, why does this happen? Where does this come from? Turn with me to John 8:44. John 8:44. Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders. And he says, "You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning." Where does murder come from? It comes from the nature of Satan. It is from the nature of the devil. What is behind abortion? The devil is behind abortion. Satan is the creator. Satan is the author. Satan is the one who inspires murder. Yet he has been deceitful enough for people who go through this process to say, "It's not murder. It's not wrong. It's my choice. I'm just doing this because I can do this." All right? What does the Bible say? Submit to God. Resist the devil. Submit to God. You cannot submit to God without submitting to His Word. You cannot. And those of you under the sound of my voice today, you are now responsible to submitting to God in this area of your life. And the counsel that you give to other people. And the responsibility that you show. All right? Now, why would a Christian be involved in this behavior? Why would a Christian? All right, turn with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. While you're turning there, it's probably worth mentioning that, you know, like I said, most of us have been affected by this. I've got three brothers, two half-brothers and one younger brother. I got to speak with my second brother this week. It was wonderful. I have some of the most terrific brothers on planet Earth. I mean, they are just fantastic. I love being around them. They're a great blessing to humanity. They're world changers, difference makers, and they're cool, and I really love them. When my mom and dad got together, before I was born, and this has been 46, 47 years ago, and this is something that my mom speaks of openly, actually gives testimonies about it. But before I was born, my mom and dad were dating, and she became pregnant by my father. And so she had an illegal abortion. And she regrets it. She didn't know the Lord. Neither did my dad. She's received forgiveness and helps a lot of ladies in that area. But I always think about, what would my other brother and sister have been like? Well, I'll tell you what, they would have been awesome. Because the other three I have are awesome. When I was in my mom's womb, she had the mumps. And one doctor actually recommended to her, "This is very dangerous. Your child may have a birth defect." I guess the jury's still out if I do or not. Ha-ha. Okay. But he actually recommended to my mom, it may be safer for you to have an abortion. And I'm so glad that mom and dad didn't. I've really enjoyed life. I've enjoyed being married and having two kids and all the different things that will come from that lineage. See, we're not just talking about something that makes you inconvenient. We're not just talking about, "This is going to get in the way of my studies." This is a destiny. This is a life. And God is pretty good at even people who were born under bad circumstances of giving them a great destiny. He's a redeemer. Amen. James chapter 4. Let's look at that. James 4. So, the Bible says people that don't know the Lord are without excuse. Sin is still sin. It's still wrong. But, you know, those that don't have the Holy Spirit, God in them, those who have not submitted their life to the Word of God, those that are still in the family of the devil. It is somewhat understandable why they would be influenced by him. All right? But for a Christian to give this advice or to have this done or to give their girlfriend money for this, why? What would cause a Christian to do that? Well, James is speaking to Christians, and he's saying in James 4:1, he said, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Among who? You, believers. Among you, Miracle Life. What would cause that? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet because you cannot have what you want. When I lived in South Africa, virtually every day, reading the newspaper, someone was killed for their BMW, for their laptop, for their shoes. What caused people to do that? Right here. It's very simple. You want something and you don't get it. So you kill. So you kill. This is a statistic from America. 95% of all abortions are done because of convenience. I just don't feel like having the baby. All right? An unexpected baby comes to a married couple or to a single person. So what do you want? I want more freedom. I want less hassle. I want more money for me and for the other kids. I don't want the shame and for my sin to be made public. And ladies, I understand it is far more public for you. Because when you get pregnant, you come to church, and here come the eyes, right? And you go to the family functions, and you're not married, and you're pregnant. And the unfortunately, many times, the irresponsible loser guy that made you pregnant, he goes, I had sex with you 15 times, but I don't know if it's my baby. I think we need a DNA test. Okay? Takes no responsibility. He has no physical sign that he has sinned, and you do. Okay? That's life. But I want something and I can't have it. So, what happens? We kill. We kill because we want something that we don't have. And it's convenient. It is perhaps one of the greatest acts of irresponsibility on planet Earth. Because God is forming a destiny and a life in the womb. And now that mother and the father is responsible to see that destiny come to pass. And they stop it. They stop it. We live in a day and age where people think that you can have sex without consequence. There is no sex without consequence. It doesn't exist, folks. And I'm talking about among us, among believers, among us. What did Paul say? Don't let this even be named among you. Sexual immorality. And again, 95% of that, 95% of abortions come from that. Miracle Life, don't let this be named among you. Miracle Life, believers, followers of Jesus Christ, don't let this be named among you. It is not an option. It is not a choice that you get to have. Is it available? Sure. Can you do it? Yeah. Some places it takes 10 minutes. They give you a pamphlet, pat you on the hand and say, you're good to go. We've taken care of, I know one lady said, they just told me, we've taken care of the growth. Next week, I need you to come back. One of the top medical doctors in the whole nation is going to be with us. Wonderful Catholic lady. And she's going to talk about the real consequences of abortion. That people don't like you to know. But it's a fact. And she's been in this business for longer than some of you have been alive. And she's going to speak the truth because we need to hear the truth. All right? So, what now? What do we do? What are the choices that we're going to make in light of God's Word? Not Pastor Walker's opinion. Opinions are like noses. We all have them. Right? Who cares about my opinion? We're talking about the breath of God. We're talking about the work of God in the womb. We're talking about God Almighty who has said, stated clearly in Scripture after Scripture after Scripture, that unborn child is a person. It's the same word. They have a destiny. They can be filled with the Holy Ghost. So what do we do? Number one, if you have considered this as an acceptable choice, as an acceptable practice, whether you've done it or not, you need to change your mind. You need to subject your beliefs and your actions to the will of God, to the Word of God. If you, after hearing this sermon today, believe that abortion is acceptable, then you have formed that opinion from information that comes from outside of God's Word. And you are in rebellion to God's Word. You have formed that opinion while ignoring, disregarding, and opposing Scripture. And in Jesus' name, the head of this church, I call you to repent. I call you to repent. Change your mind and submit your heart and your mind to the Word of God right now. What else can we do? We can influence others. We can influence others. And like I said, if you're a stable person, and if you're walking with God, people usually won't call you on Friday night for the drinking party, but when they're in trouble, they will call you. And so when your cousin, when your aunt, when somebody in your family gets pregnant and they don't want to have the baby, they're going to call you. What are you going to tell them? Well, just pray about it. Follow your heart. Nonsense. You give them these scriptures. You give them these scriptures. You give them these scriptures. And let them make a choice. Because again, it's not, you can't make that choice for them. But inform them in the light of God's Word. Right? Inform in the light of God's Word what God thinks about their child. All right? You can be an influence. All right? It is the choice of God, the creator of human beings. In your sphere of influence, you need to refuse to work for an organization that performs abortions. Oh, but Pastor, and this is what people say, I'm just the accountant. You know, I do the marketing. I sweep the floors. I don't have part of that. Who are you fooling? The Bible is very, very clear that when Paul did not throw a stone at Stephen, he was holding the coats of those that did. He helped it happen. And he was called a murderer for it. Oh, but Pastor, I need the money. You don't need blood money in your bank account. It's blood money. It is unholy money. Oh, God bless me. How can God bless you when you are working for the author of murder? What is happening in your office and in that room next to yours is being inspired by Satan, who was a murderer from the beginning. And you want to collect money and you want to pay your rent and you want to come and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Wake up. Wake up. You're fooling yourself. Wake up. It is not just a job. It is not just a paycheck. You are helping the devil's kingdoms work. That's what you're doing. From 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. Stop it. Quit tomorrow. Oh, Pastor, I need to get another job. No, you don't. You don't need another ingwe of that dirty money. Stop it in Jesus' name. Now, let me tell you, I had no idea I was going to say this today. I had no idea I was going to say this part today. And why? It's because you're in this room. You're in this room and you need to quit your job. You need to quit your job. And I will not prophesy over you that, yea, saith the Lord, in 5 days you'll have a job with double the money. No, you may go unemployed for a year. Quit your job. Quit your job in Jesus' name. Now, what else can we do? How else can we influence with this knowledge? Provide alternatives. Help women. Help people who find themselves in this situation. God is a restorer. God is a helper. God is a redeemer. And so instead of condemning a 17-year-old niece in your family who's pregnant, you be the first one to step up and say, "You can stay in my house. I'll help raise that baby. We'll get things right with God. I'll help you battle that crazy boyfriend of yours." Yeah, you be the one. You be the advocate. God says he's a father to the fatherless. But he needs skin on planet Earth to be the father in. Rise up and help people. We've got wonderful people in this congregation that are involved with orphans, that help people with adoption. Be a difference maker. Don't just wag your finger and say, "I heard on Sunday abortion's bad." No, you help provide, because God always has a solution to sin. God always has a way of escape. And if that girl's 17 or 18 years old, she can't raise that baby by herself. She's a kid. She doesn't know right from wrong. She hasn't matured enough to be a mom. Help. Come alongside. Give money. Be a blessing. Amen. Be an advocate. Make a difference. Now, if you have already done this, okay, and maybe like my mom, maybe it was 40 years ago, maybe it was a lot sooner, all right? Whether you were the mom that had the abortion, or you were the dad or the boyfriend that encouraged it or paid for it, men, that's on you. That's on you. Well, I just left it up to her. No, you don't leave it up to her. That's your baby. You say, "Hey, if you don't want that baby, I'll take the baby. We'll raise it. What happened in sin, God's going to redeem this." You don't throw away the plan of God in a garbage can. You don't throw away the divine work of God into a dustbin. Take responsibility. Take responsibility. So, if this has happened in your past, all right, I hope today you realize it was wrong. I hope you realize I committed murder. Okay? Don't fool yourself that you didn't. You did. Now here's the good news. God forgives murder. God forgives murder, but in the Bible he also uses murderers. David was a murderer. Moses was a murderer. Paul was a murderer. All those guys did a pretty good job with the plan of God in their life. Peter, the first pastor of the first church, he certainly attempted murder when he sliced the guy's ear off. I don't think he was aiming for his ear. God restored every single one of them. But here's the other thing. They all realized what they did was wrong. Don't pretend that it's not wrong. But receive forgiveness. Receive restoration. 1 John 1:9 says, if we admit, if we confess, that's our part. What do? We admit. "Father, I did it." Then the rest is on him. He is faithful and he is just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But forgiveness has to be received with open hands. Okay? You don't receive something that you're not looking for. And if you're not looking for forgiveness, you say, "Oh, I don't know, I didn't do anything wrong." You won't receive forgiveness. So today, you need to apologize to God. You need to confess. You need to recognize to him. And that's one of the big things that David said in Psalm 51. He said, "God, it's against you. It's against you I have sinned. I violated your word. I violated your divine plan for human beings." Okay? So admit it, receive it. And then for some of you, there needs to be restitution. You need to make things right. If you've been lying, you need to tell the truth. Maybe you told your boyfriend, "Oh, I had a miscarriage." No, you didn't. It's a lie. But that's a lot easier to say than "I threw my baby away." Make things right. Don't live in a lie. Don't continue that lie. Oh, but Pastor, all hell's going to break loose. Let it break loose. Live in the truth. Live in the light. God can fix anything. He can fix anything. And there is a church full of people that will stand by you. We will help you. We'll go to hell and back for you if you come to us. Now, we can't come to you if you don't help. Put up your hand and say, hey, I need help. All right? This entire week, if you need people to pray with you from here any day, say, Pastor, I need help. I need to talk to somebody. Oh, my gosh, my mom's going to freak out. I'm going to lose my job. Hey, let us walk with you through that mess. God can help you. God can redeem it. God can make things right. Amen? He can, and He will. All right? But we need to be clear, and we need to see sin in the light of God's opinion, not in the light of human reasoning. Every baby should be a wanted baby. No, that's not a Bible verse. That's human reasoning. That's nonsense. God's Word says that baby was created in the image of God and has a destiny and has a plan. Some of you in this room, you were born out of wedlock. It looks like you turned out okay. Some of the most precious, and I don't want to embarrass anybody or anything, but some of the most precious little kids I know, beautiful, hand of God on their life. They're born from a sin, a mistake, a boyfriend that flew the coop, nowhere to be found. And yet God redeemed that precious baby. God redeemed that precious baby. Some of you may know the evangelist James Robison that's on TV, does a great work all over the world, especially in Africa. His mother was raped. He was born out of that. He's a redeemer. He's a redeemer of your life. He redeems from destruction. Amen. Bow your heads with me. Bow your head with me. Right now, I'd ask everybody in the room and outside of the room, I want you to close your eyes. Ushers, sound booth, Caesar, those of you that are closing the doors, you can just you don't have to close them right now. Everybody, close your eyes. Why are we saying that? There's some stuff that is between you and God, okay? And this is one of those moments, okay? Between you and God. But you're in this place, and either you were the lady or you were the man that helped that abortion take place, but it has happened in your life. And you realize today, I was wrong. I violated God. I violated His divine plan in the womb. And I need to admit it, and I need to come clean. The Bible says, and He's not kidding, if you confess your sin, He's faithful. He's just. He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you. He'll do just that. Maybe you were the man that encouraged it or influenced the mom to do that, or you paid the money. Today is the day to receive that cleansing. With every head bowed, every eye closed, please, in the mother's room, I know you've got babies, please, moms, dads, close your eyes right now. If you're in this place and you say, that has happened in my past, but today I'm receiving forgiveness, I want you to raise your hand. Just lift it up. You can put it down. Lift it up. Put it down. This is for you. This is God reaching out to you. This is God wanting to redeem your life. Anybody else? You can put your hand down. Just put it up, put it down. He loves you. He loves you, friend. He loves you, sir. He loves you, ma'am. He loves you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. His mercy
endures forever. It endures to you. Before we pray, anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, for every hand raised, Father, this is a heart of an individual coming to you because they messed up. Lord, we've all messed up. We all need cleansing. We all need a Savior. And so, Father, right now, we thank you for the blood of Jesus, that at the cross, murder, abortion, it was put on the cross. And you paid for it. You paid for it. Father, in the Old Testament, these hands would have deserved to die. But Father, now, because of Calvary, you offer them grace. You offer them a forgiveness. So Father, right now, I pray that you will cleanse, that you will help, that you will purge their conscience. Father, if there is any torment, Father, I thank you that you'll help them. Father, we speak your grace. We speak forgiveness. Lord, you are faithful to do what you said you'll do, and you forgive, and you cleanse. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Help them now. Help them now, Father. Anyone who had lifted up your hand, or maybe you didn't have the courage to lift up your hand, this church's doors are open for you. We will help you. We'll walk you through whatever is the mess. Doesn't matter how long ago or short, whatever it is right now, we'll help you. Don't say, I don't have anybody to talk to. There are people here that are confidential, they're smart, they're full of the Holy Ghost, and they'll help you. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for redemption. Father, I pray for every mom and dad in this room, every mom and dad to be, Father, that we will take the responsibility that you gave us to mold and nurture and raise up children in the admonition of the Lord. Father, help us to do it right. Father, for every single person here, Lord, that has not yet become pregnant, Lord, help them to realize that it is not cool, that babies need a mom and a dad. And Father, help them and give them grace. Help make the way of escape, that they'll see it over every sexual temptation, over every trap of the enemy, for every married person. Father, we thank you that we are free from adultery. Father, that we make decisions in line with your word and based on your Holy Spirit. Father, we allow Scripture to empower us and to guide us. Thank you, Father. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here in this place, regardless of the sin, regardless of what you've done wrong, Jesus loves you. And if you don't know him today, you can. You can know him as your personal Lord and Savior. You can become a part of the family of God. How does that happen? Well, Jesus did all the hard part. He died for you. He died in your place. He took your sin and your judgment. And now he offers you a free gift of righteousness, of reconciliation, and he offers it to you. But it must be received. It must be received person by person. If you're here today and you're backslidden, you've walked away from God, you don't know him, you can come home today. Like the prodigal son found, he found forgiveness and cleansing, and he was accepted back in the family. You can come home today. If you're here today, God loves you. He doesn't want you to live without him. If you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus, but I want to, or I need to come home to him, wherever you are right now, simply lift up your hand. Lift up your hand and say, that's me. I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Anybody? Yes, over here. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to follow him. God bless you. Thank you. Over here. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. God bless you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Anybody else? He loves you. Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Can we all stand to our feet? We're going to go briefly. I'd ask everybody, let's just remain and let's respect and honor the work of God that's happening in these hearts right now. But if you lifted up your hand and you say, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to come home to Him today. Right now, just whatever you brought to church, just grab it and come and meet me up front. I want to pray with you individually, and I want to see God come into your heart, into your life, because He loves you and He cares for you. Can we give these folks that big, big hand as they're coming from over here, over here? Amen. Wonderful, wonderful. Just come, just come. This Bible that I had paid for, if I was going to give it to you, how would you get it? Right, you just reach out and receive. Yes, so glad. The gift that God has for you is forgiveness, His love, His mercy. It's free. We don't pay for it, but we do receive by faith. So I want to lead you in a prayer that in our heart will do just that. It will receive that free, wonderful gift from God. Are you ready? Ready to do that? Okay, let's just close our eyes and let's lift up one of our hands towards heaven, because that's who we're going to be talking to right now. And say this with me. Say, God, I believe that You love me. I thank You that Jesus died for me. That when He died for my sins. He was raised from the dead so that I could know You. Give You my heart, give You my whole life. Thank You, Jesus, that You are now my Lord. You are my Savior. I will follow You, and You will never leave me. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, I tell you, awesome.